What if I told you that your life could be completely transformed through meditation? Welcome to Meditate on This, an inspiring podcast where I share true life stories of people whose lives have been completely transformed through meditation. I am your host, Angela Accomando, and I can't wait to go on this journey with you. I want to welcome a really close friend of mine, Agette, coming to us all the way from Bali. I am really excited that she's on here because I met Agette also at the meditation teacher training. I've had a lot of my fellow students on here, but when I met Agette, I just looked at her and said, I like her. And I say she's my sister from another mister. The two of us just love the Dharma. We love meditation and we love yoga more than anything. And I'm just so excited to have her on here and for her to share her story on what brought her to meditation. So welcome, Agette.
Hello, Angela. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much. I'm very humbled to be here with you and share this experience with you. I love you.
I love you.
From the first day.
Yeah. So let's start off with just sharing what you do for a living.
Huh. Wow.
That's a good question, right?
Yes. I am a meditation teacher. I studied Tibetan Buddhism, but also I study meditation. I started with Tibetan Buddhism and I started my meditation journey studying Buddhism. And then slowly I also studying yoga. I studied first Hatha yoga, and of course I started with the asana, and then I dived down to the teachings and classic teachings, and I am a yoga teacher. I did few training. One was in India, and then my second one was in Mexico. I studied the teaching of Ramana Maharshi, which is a great master of non-duality, Advaita Vedanta traditions. Mm. So I do that. I am also a sound healer. Mm-hmm. I studied with the great master Don Conroe, American gong master. He's 84 maybe now. And he himself studied with Yogi Bhajan. Mm. And I also studied the singing bowls in India, tuning forks and more. And in India, I studied sound healing therapy. So to give individual treatment, not only sound bath. I do that. What else do I do?
You managed a very successful restaurant in Manhattan, which is not easy for many years.
Yes. It was a very good and amazing. It's still an amazing restaurant, Cafe Mogador, and it's been open now for 36 years. And it was a great experience. I learned a lot there, and I learned a lot about compassion.
And so, wow, you have a. I knew about your studies, but when you say it all in one sentence, it's like, wow, you are truly a master at really all of these things and, you know, a true, you know, seeker. And I admire that. And I live vicariously through you because, you know, I have four kids, so I can't really get up and do all the things you do, but I get so excited seeing you do them because I know it comes from such a deep, passionate place, and I know it's healed you. But can you share how you even started and
yes,
how you started on this path?
So it was back in the days in New York. It was a time where I would say reached the bottom in my life, and I was unhappy married. but not only that, I can't blame just on the marriage. I was just first myself, not feeling good. was, I remember I was in the park in New York, in my neighborhood, in the East Village, Tompkins Square Park. And I would just stop, like I would freeze, sitting on a bench and just look around me and felt that everyone around was living in that bubble, and myself included. And then I was just watching and I was like, whoa, I'm not happy. And unfortunately, most of the people around don't look happy, even though they're always there, fancy coffees and fancy smoothies and East Village life, you know, like super cool and all the bars and the brunch places and blah, blah, blah. And not judging, but just, I was just, I don't know, had like a little realization, at least for myself. And I decided, whoa, like I'm lying to myself and I just want to find the truth. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's how it started. So I reached out to a friend that was into Tibetan Buddhism, and I asked her to teach me meditation. So she taught me very briefly. She gave me a few instructions, told me you sat down, you leave your eyes open a little bit or close your eyes and just watch. So it's how I started. And basically, like, and then she gave me a book, the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying from Sogyal Rinpoche, who was a bestseller at the time, like 25 years bestseller, now it's longer. Rinpoche just died in July this year, but he's a great master who brought the teachings in the West, and he's a Tibetan but has a very good English and good accent. So it was really his mission to share the teachings, and it's how I started with his book. And I read it over and over, like she did, and she's still reading it. My friend Loan, Loan Chabanol, she's amazing, and you can look her up on Instagram if you want to. And yeah, and it's how I started basically. And by myself, I meditated by myself. And then little by little, I watched his Sogyal Rinpoche's video on YouTube. And I started the teaching this way. And then I started yoga. And like I mentioned earlier, because when you start, I mean, myself, like you said, I'm a seeker. And when it's about Dharma, yes.
Yeah. And then you just kept following it.
Yeah, I kept following it. And I went to India and I studied yoga. And then I went to the Himalaya and I did my first silent retreat there with the Tibetan monks. It was amazing at the Tushita Center in Dharamkot. And I got to meet the Dalai Lama, which, you know, it just, the path was open for me. I feel it's like when we say karmically, because I looked for things, but I didn't attach to plans. And I let myself, it's like I looked for things, but I let go at the same time. And all the things like were aligned. And it's tricky because before, back in the days when I would hear people saying, yeah, things are aligning, you'll see, blah, 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 I was like, yeah. To me, it was just too hippie, spiritually, blah, blah, BS, I thought so. And no, now when I look back, I'm not going to tell you all of my story, but everything aligned. Same things with the teachings of Ramana Maharshi. And I went to India first. And I met this great yogi in a small town and studied with him for almost 2 months. And it was amazing. And we studied the teachings also of Ramana Maharshi and Hatha Yoga from Shivananda's style. And I didn't know who was Ramana Maharshi. What I didn't know is that a program that I found before that, like a year before on the internet, and that I wanted to do and that I actually did a few years later, was also following the teaching of Ramana Maharshi. And I already decided to go there. And then I went to India and I was like, wow. So, you know, things were aligned for me.
Wow. And so before you found these things, like, how did you feel in life? What did you struggle with? I know you said unhappiness, but
yes.
What else?
I think for a long time, like I said, I mentioned it, I wanted to be true to myself. Mm-hmm. I felt that I felt those feelings younger, even at a very small age, because I flashed back from a house where my parents were still together. So which means that I was before 5 years old. and I could see that I was perceiving, I mean, now when I see that flashback and that I understand, I could see that at that time I was confused and I was perceiving the world differently mm-hmm. than it was. And so when I said the world, like reality, basically. And to then fast forward to that time in the bench and in my marriage and myself, I just felt that I was not doing what I want to do. Yes, at that time I was working in this beautiful restaurant and I was surrounded by amazing people, also difficult people too, but because that's what the world is. But I was not fulfilled because I felt I was not helping enough. Mm-hmm. And so I was struggling with feeling, I was struggling with, I don't know, I felt I was not complete. And of course, with anxiety and the desire to want to do more and to help. But at that time, I needed to help myself first, but I didn't know. Mm. So, yes, and of course, you know, also post-trauma, you know, trauma yeah. from childhood and, you know, my situation with my mom when I was younger. And I know these things I needed to heal, and I knew it from a very young age, and I always worked on it. I worked on it, but I was working on it on a psychological level, which is great. But now I'm also working on it with my meditation practice and on my spiritual level and on the memories. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm working a lot now. The memories, you know, we cling on memories, but we don't make the difference between perceived memories, like mm-hmm. psychological memories, mm-hmm. and real memories. And when I say real memories, it means how things really happened. Mm. And we cling to that psychological effect that it's our perception of how it happened.
Yeah.
And it's really healing for me. And I'm sorry, I'm digressing a little bit, but more and more when I go to silent retreats, mm-hmm. because it's a time where you meditate a lot and you're silent. So little by little, your mind gets purified and you see things more clearly. Mm-hmm. And you're different. And I have, each time I have so many memories from childhood. Mm. And they're very clear. And I see, for example, because before I was complaining a lot about, like, I missed my mom and lacked of, like, love that I sought and blah, blah, blah. And now I can see, no, that time it didn't happen this way. It happened this way. I felt this way because I wanted more. I wanted more of my mom. But it was actually a really nice time, or it was not that bad, you know, and it's very beautiful. Mm. So this helped me a lot.
And so after doing all of these, studying these teachings, and how has it changed you from going from anxious and unfulfilled How are you feeling now?
I feel great. I feel very happy. I feel very lucky every day. I have so much gratitude. Of course, I'm not fully happy every day and blissed out. Otherwise, I'll be a realized being, which is my goal to become this life or other life. But let's aim for this life. But what changed is that now if anxiety rise or negative feelings come up, I can, in a way, neutralize them very quickly. I have tools, and I also see how my mind is tricky. Like, your mind is your best friend, but it's your best enemy. And it's Buddhism speaks a lot about taming your mind. So it's how I started. And this is true. Like, when we say you are what you think, or you become what you think, and the best and greatest quality about the mind is that the mind can change, and the mind changes. You can alter your mind all the time. And this is a tool that you have with yourself all the time, wherever you are. You might be even in prison, in the worst conditions. Your mind can be your best enemy or your best friend. And I'm not saying things happen to you in your life and it's some tragic things can happen to you, but you can really change the way you think and the way you perceive. It's not easy. But so I will say I feel great because I have this tool that we always had and that we have from birth, you know? But now I know how to use it.
So okay. When anxiety arises, can you give us a tool? What do you do?
I pause. I take a, if extreme anxiety arises, I take a deep breath. And then I start watching my thoughts right away. I mean, sometimes, you know, you have anxiety or you get, you overreact. It's not always automatic, but more you do it, more it becomes automatic. And so either if I can catch it right away, I watch myself. And then I see how my mind is tricking me and tricking the situation, make it blurry, basically. So I do that. And pausing is always your best friend. You have your breath with you. So you can do also some pranayama, which are breath work from the yogic lineage, but lineages, I mean, traditions, I mean. But even if you don't know, you know, you take deep breath in and out, and your exhale being longer than your inhale, and you know, you keep going this way, and then you watch your thoughts. And as you're breathing, you will see your thought will be less hectic. That's what I do. And then, of course, if I have time, or I meditate. But you can also meditate 1 minute. You can be, in, for example, you have anxiety at work, go to the bathroom, breathe. You even meditate 1 minute if you can't do more, or if you don't know how to, or you're building your practice. That's what I do. But meditating is not only on the cushion. You can do it. You don't have to close your eyes to have that lotus pose, and it can be anytime in the subway. Where to work. It's really watching your thoughts and what's happening around you.
And what's your favorite kind of meditation to do? Because there are so many options.
There are so many. So, like I said, I started with Tibetan Buddhism, the Mahayana tradition. And it was amazing, and it's still amazing, and was really a big part of my life. And then slowly I transitioned to Hidaya Yoga is my center in Mexico,
mm-hmm.
where I learned. I just spent 3 months right before Bali, 650 hours.
Wow.
To a silent retreat, and I also did a dark retreat in a dark room.
Yeah, how was that?
It was amazing, a little challenging. You're alone in a dark room, and you have a trap we give to give you food for 2 days, twice a day,
mm-hmm.
And you have a bathroom, and you're just in pitch black. It was too short to start. I want to do it longer, but it was really good. So to go back to your question, so now I'm practicing that Hidaya yoga. So Hidaya, it's Hridaya. Hidaya yoga, meditation. So I'm practicing. So it's a Indian yogic meditation on non-duality. So it's a different practice. And you basically meditate on your spiritual heart, which is located everywhere and anywhere, but the pathway, the gateway, is in your heart center. And you focus on the pauses after inhalation and exhalation.
Mm.
And you meditate on the question, who am I?
Wow.
And you do that. It's amazing. So it's not a guided meditation. But one of my favorite meditations that I learned and did a lot, and that helped me a lot in Tibetan Buddhism, is definitely Tonglen.
Yeah.
Which is receiving the suffering of others. So Tonglen, receiving the suffering of others, but you can start with yourself, because sometimes at the beginning it's too difficult to be able, I mean, the mind thinks it's too difficult to take the suffering of others. So you take the suffering of others of your or yourself, and basically with the exhalation, you send healing and love to that specific suffering, or to those specific people, or that area in your body or in your mind that is suffering. And this is a very powerful. And at the beginning, it seems weird and uncomfortable, but it helped me a lot. And I started doing it with my mom at the time, and with my ex-husband at the time, mm-hmm. when my divorce was really fresh. And it was weird at the beginning, and it was actually really healing. And I hope it helped him, because I don't know, but I know it helped my mom. But it helped me tremendously.
Wow. And how did you finally make meditation become a regular everyday practice for you? Or are you still working on that? Share with us.
I will say, to be honest, I am still working on it, because mm-hmm. I feel that even great meditators, I'm not saying I'm a great meditator, but I'm saying great meditators are human beings,
mm-hmm.
and have hard days,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so my meditation practice is much better than when I started, like everything in life.
Mm-hmm.
I do meditate every day.
Mm-hmm.
And how I made it easier is that before, because I used to be a perfectionist, and I understand now it comes a lot from my ego.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working on that, to not try to be perfect, because often when you try to be perfect, you actually don't get things done or everything mm-hmm. done, because you can't. You don't have the mm-hmm. tools. At that time right now, you're mm-hmm. not superwoman or super men, mm-hmm. At least all the time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So how I made it easier is that instead of reaching the goal, I need to meditate an hour every day, you know, especially at the beginning, I was like, no, I need to meditate every day. And if I'm not able now to really make that time, today can be 10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
but at least 10 minutes or 5 minutes or 2 minutes, it's better than 0 minutes and carrying the guilt with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know that pattern, and then it creates a vicious cycle. So it's how I made it. And a great tool also that was that was taught to me in the Himalaya, but reinforced with Hector from Three Jewels,
mm-hmm.
where we met and where we did our 200-hour meditation teacher training.
Mm-hmm.
He often told us and advised us to do it first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really great tool, and it helped a lot of people. And it's often a tool that I tell people around me. Now that I studied even more yoga and about different state of consciousness and about sleep and brain waves and blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
I understood that it's even a better tool to do it right away in the morning at the beginning, because, you know, when you sleep and you're in deep sleep and mm-hmm. you wake up, the first few seconds when you wake up, you're still blissed out.
Huh.
You have this, like, see it, like, tomorrow when you wake up. And then anxiety kicks in.
Mm.
Or, I have to do this in my to-do list. Or have that. But before the few, you know, seconds, sometimes you don't even know so much where you are. And it's very beautiful. And now I'm trying to train at keeping this bliss a little longer. And if you can do it, like, a few seconds more, and then you go straight on your cushion.
Yeah.
Meditate before the anxiety, before reaching to your phone and seeing emails or things you have to do, and you know, to before basically starting thinking and making your life hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
you just woke up. You are right now, right here in the moment, in the present, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
You have everything, all the tools. So that's a great tip for me, to go straight to meditation.
Well, that was going to be my next question. So you answered that, is just giving listeners a quick tip of when they could begin implementing meditation in their lives. So starting in the morning, that's great. And I know for myself, if I don't do it immediately, it just, my day shifts differently than when I get up and I just go right to do my meditation, you know? And like you said, even if it's a few minutes, because I agree, like, even the best meditators miss days, aren't doing it, you know, for long periods of time. Sometimes it's, you know, we are humans just trying to do our best. So this was so much great information and inspiring to hear all the things you're studying. I can't wait till you come back to New York and share all of this, the sound bath and everything. So I want to thank you for sharing your story and taking the time to be with me today. I'm definitely going to leave the links to all of these books and teachers that you spoke about in the show notes, to make sure if anyone is curious about these things, and your friend that turned you on to you know, all of these teachings, I'll make sure I put it in the show links. But I want to thank you for waking up early in the morning, because it's like, what, 6 o'clock in the morning in Bali?
Yeah.
So thank you for joining us. And I can't wait till you're back in the States and we could catch up on a bunch of stuff.
I can't wait either.
Okay, talk to you later. Thank you.
You're amazing. Thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun. And I hope it helps even one person.
Yeah.
You know, it's important.
That is my
intention. Thank you so much for doing what you do. You're doing great. You're very inspiring.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Meditate on this podcast. I hope you were inspired today. If you're not a subscriber, go ahead and subscribe so you'll be notified of every story as they're shared. I would be so grateful if you left a review, rated it, and shared it with a friend. This helps bring these inspiring messages to more people in the world. And if you'd like to bring more peace and happiness into your life and you're interested in starting a meditation practice, make sure you join my free meditation challenge. You can sign up for it at meditateonthispodcast.com or there's a link in the show notes below. For daily inspiration, you can follow me on Instagram at Angela Accomando. Have a wonderful day. And remember, there's transformation through meditation. Ciao for now.